29 steel. Right like Mark Twain. Jake Gatsby, I pop things. Yellow cars, yellow gold like slick.
Yes, I think it's safe to say Jay-Z would have partied with Gatsby back in the day, and certainly writer F. Scott Fitzgerald. That clip is from the new movie, The Great Gatsby. The wild times of F. Scott Fitzgerald as the voice of his generation led him to marvel at and then chronicle the excesses of the 1920s in America. And then, in a sense, he lived the difficult aftermath in the 1930s and 40s. Like a lot of writers, he looked to Hollywood for cash when the magazine world couldn't support his lavish lifestyle. And Fitzgerald has always had a strange, complicated relationship with Hollywood. The Great Gatsby is something of a holy grail for movie directors. Many have tried to bring the book to the screen. Director Baz Luhrmann is just the latest. But as a book, The Great Gatsby's reputation is secure, even if the America it depicts has changed radically, something noted by a group of writers who admit being in the shadow of the Great One when they stopped by to talk about Fitzgerald and Gatsby. Chang Ray Lee is author of Native Speaker and The Surrendered. Jeffrey Eugenides is author of Middlesex and The Marriage Plot. And Nell Freudenberger is author of Lucky Girls and The Newlyweds.
I like it more the older I get. There's an idea that it's sort of a young person's book and everybody reads it in high school. But in high school, I was sort of repelled by the shallowness of the characters. I wanted seriousness. I wanted Anna Karenina and Dorothea Brooke and, you know, not Daisy and Jordan.
Do you think the shallowness, Jeffrey Eugenides, is deliberate in Gatsby by Fitzgerald? He's really showing us a portrait of the United States in the 1920s.
It might be intentional. I hadn't read the book since high school, and I reread it this weekend. And I found it shallow in many ways, some of them perhaps unintentional. It seemed to me that, you know, as a nation, we might moderate our admiration for the book.
One phrase did stick out to me, which was purposeless splendor. And that seemed to be absolutely true of that time and absolutely true of our time. I mean, that's we surround ourselves with all this gilt-edged stuff and luxury, and we have some faith that that excess will somehow lead to some kind of transcendence. And of course, once you get there, and I think that's where we're left at the end of the book, once you get to that place, then what is it?
Chang Ray Lee, it seems to me if there was a Gatsby character or a Great Gatsby book today, it would be about someone in China or in Bombay or in Asia in some way. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Mohsin Hamid's new book is sort of along those lines, right?
How to Get Filthy Rich in Asia.
Right. We're so enraptured with those sorts of characters, even as are repulsed by them. There's this alternating current I think we all have, this fascination, but also this lingering disgust, not just for them, of course, but what they reflect in us. One of the things that I always loved about Gatsby, the ways in which, you know, Gatsby himself is a kind of mirror, a sort of fabulous mirror to everyone around him. And there's that great moment when Nick Carraway first meets him and doesn't even know it's Gatsby, and Gatsby introduces himself. And he describes him as someone who looked at you with the belief that you would have of yourself, that he's somehow this mirror of self.
I suspect, though, if we look in that mirror today, we see a far greater diversity of characters staring back in the America of 2013 than Gatsby ever allowed us to see in his book. Jeffrey?
Chang and I were just talking before the interview about the Jewish characters in Gatsby and how close to anti-Semitic the portraits are. So there is a little bit of diversity, but it's not the kind that you would wish for.
I mean, I would say that the depiction of race in The Great Gatsby is much more complicated than gender, than sex. You know, that women in The Great Gatsby are almost completely one-dimensional, whereas there is some kind of ambiguity, especially about the black and white and the very beginning with Tom reading this ridiculous book called The Rise of the Colored Empires. And then much later in the book when this black character is the one who comes forward and identifies Gatsby's car at the scene of the accident.
There's a great scene, though, when they're going over the Queensboro Bridge in Gatsby's limousine, and they look across and there's a limousine of African-Americans also partying to the max with champagne. And you realize that the decade was, you know, not universal, but it was shared all the way across New York. And that's an amazing and, for me, quite a surprising scene.
It's almost as though you wanted Fitzgerald to explore that more rather than have these tiny little vignettes. What did he really think about segregation, that multiculturalism, but everyone behind their own separate walls? And you never really get that from Gatsby.
Well, with Nick Carraway's position is an interesting one, right? He's the one who's reflective and ruminative, and he sees so clearly But of course, he's not going to be someone who does anything. I mean, by position, he's passive. But also, I think culturally, he'll mention his disgust, but he won't do anything about it. And maybe that's as true to anything as about.
He does at the end, though. He gets mad and he you know, goes away from Jordan. He's sick of the people, pretty much. And
right.
Gatsby, and he tells Gatsby, "You're the only one worth anything," even though Gatsby's so incredibly deluded.
Here's something I noted, Chang, and I wonder if I could have your commentary on this, and everybody else. Great Gatsby. 5 attempts to make a movie of this book, all flawed, controversial, or even just completely forgotten. Grapes of Wrath, about the next decade, 1 movie, an absolute classic. Does that say anything about writers, Hollywood, or the question of which decade is more important, the 20s or the 30s, Chang?
I think it says something about Hollywood. I mean, if you think about Gatsby, it's sort of catnip for Hollywood, you know, the way it's set up, the hero, all the surfaces, the glittery surfaces. And I think Hollywood, you know, they get so enamored of all those things that they forget what the book really is.
Jeffrey, care to offer a theory on the movie issue here?
Well, it's interesting with the new version, the one that's coming out now. You know, Nick is a problem. You can have a narrator in a novel who doesn't play a lot of part in the action. But what they do in the new movie is they make Nick recovering in a sanitarium from alcoholism. And his shrink tells him to write it down. And so the writing of The Great Gatsby is Nick's way of curing himself. So they had to give him a whole backstory.
It's the Sopranos scenario.
Exactly. It's been used many times, but that's what you need to do in a film. You have to have people doing something. It's not so great a medium for telling thoughts and going inside people's heads. So they come up with that, and that's the biggest liberty they took.
The one thing about the book that I appreciated more on this reading was the way that memory works in the book is very realistic. I mean, there's the shiny surfaces of the world that Nick's operating in, and then there's this paragraph where he says, of course, you know, most of my life wasn't like this. I was getting on the train, you know, I was going into work, I was studying during my lunch hour. But the way that memory constructs, you know, the past for us, it is the narrative that ends up, you know, after all the years are finished, the narrative kind of rises to the surface. And this becomes a summer about Daisy and Tom and Gatsby, whereas, you know, 90% of the time falls away, the realism kind of falls away, and you get this kind of beautiful story.
Novelist Nell Freudenberger, Chang Rae Lee, and Jeffrey Eugenides.